Grab your Bibles, if you would. Philippians chapter 4. I wanted to present the complete thought of this whole thing. And it's taken me 11 weeks to do that, but I think we've been able to do it sufficiently. Now, that doesn't mean we're getting off the subject of prayer, okay? We're just getting away from Philippians chapter 4, all right? And we're going to develop some more things as we go through this year. I believe God has really laid upon my heart to every Sunday morning preach on the topic of prayer this year. And I promise you, it will not get old. There are over 100 and some verses that talk about prayer in our scriptures. Amen. So we can study this thing out a little bit more. And if at the end of the year, our church and our people can be a better praying people, then we've succeeded. And that ought to be the goal in our lives. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you are physically able, we'll read responsively verses 1 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, I'll begin in verse 1. I'll read the odd verses by myself, and you can join me on the even verses as we go through the scriptures. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. We are going to focus on verse 9. But in order to do so, we've got to kind of set the table, all right? So so if you wanted to say that these last 11 weeks, I think it took the first three Sundays to introduce, okay? And then about five or six Sundays or seven Sundays of meat, you know, the points of the message. This is the conclusion, okay? This is a message with many messages in between, all right? And so run time on the tapes, probably about 12 or 13 hours of messages out of 9 verses of the Bible, okay? That's great, I think. Okay, that's pretty good. We're doing great. Now, to set the table, if you will, I want you to look back at verse 1. Paul is writing to these dear Philippians. They are dearly beloved. He says that at the end of verse 1. He names some of them, Euodias and Syntyche. He names one that's a true yoke fellow, and there's many speculations about who that might be. So we know that there are people that he was associated with that he considered very close to him in the ministry. There's a lady named Clement, and others that were fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. And these are people he knew by name, people that he had built relationships with and loved in the Lord. And he wanted them to stand fast in the Lord, and he wanted them to rejoice in the Lord, and he wanted them to trust in the Lord so that they could be all that they can be. When I mentioned to you that my prayer and my desire was not only for you, but also for me, to become people of prayer. That's what I desire for my life. that my life would be about prayer. Okay? Not that prayer would be part of my life. Do you understand that? Not that I would have a prayer life, but that prayer would be life for me. Does that make sense? That's the mindset that I'm trying to build us with, okay? Because that's what I think Paul wanted with these people. Because if you're going to say things like, pray without ceasing, that doesn't make sense if you have a prayer life. But it does make sense if you have a life of prayer. Okay, do you understand that? To say in everything, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, that doesn't make sense if you have a prayer life. But it does make sense if you have a life of prayer. So God wants us to think differently. He wants us to compute differently. We talked about that the last couple of weeks. How we ought to think on these things. If there be any virtue, we talked about the only thing that has virtue is Jesus Christ. If there be any praise, the only thing that's commendable is Jesus Christ. We talked about whatsoever things were true, that was related to Jesus Christ. Whatsoever things were honest, again, related to Jesus Christ. Whatsoever things are just, Jesus Christ. Whatsoever things are pure, again, Jesus Christ. Whatsoever things are lovely, again, Jesus Christ. Good report, Jesus Christ. So think on these things. Make the formula of your life different. I believe in Christ's ministry, he lived a life of prayer. We see him in many accounts, many different things, in many different situations, talking to his Father. Now, let me just ask you a question. Did Jesus, if you will, have to do that? No. Because he is God, right? Why did he do that? For our benefit. For our benefit, to see that example. So, Paul says, as we get to this conclusion, so we talked about the things that we needed to prepare ourselves for to be able to pray. We talked about what prayer was. We talked about what supplication is. We talked about what it means to add and do it with thanksgiving, rendering that thanks for good received, making our requests and also the attitude of our requests. What requests are we requesting? Are they requests in the flesh or are they requests in the spirit and in the will of God? Then we talked about the peace of God. And then we talked about think on these things. So we're closing this down because he does say finally, brethren. Okay. And if you look at verse 10, he says here, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. So he is finally changing subjects. He is not talking about their life with God and their abundance and their fruitfulness and their well-being and their praying to God and their attitude with God. He's now talking to how they treated him and closing this letter out with gratitude toward these dear people that he loved. So we see a definite change of topic in verse 10. So what does that mean? That means that verse 9 is the finally of the finally. He says in verse 8, finally, brethren. And we have this long sentence. And then he immediately begins verse 9 with another phrase that tells us this is the same subject. That's why I've been preaching verses 1 through 9 as a complete text. Okay? This is a complete thought that the Apostle Paul is trying to get across to the Philippians. And I think the main body of it is a life of prayer. So, last week, I preached on these things. Today, I want to preach on those things. Look at it. At the end of verse 8, he says, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. What things? Those attributes of Christ that we went over. Those six things that are enveloped in the two things, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And then he immediately turns and says those things. So he went from a these things to a those things. Well, what are the those things? Well, let's see what he has to say in this sentence. He says, those things, comma, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, comma, do, colon. Okay, so if we take out the clauses, right? These are defining words. So if we take out the commas, right, we'll just eliminate that. Those things do. Okay, that's the statement. Those things do. Well, Paul, could you really define for us what the those things are? Well, he does, right? That's what the commas are for. What things, Paul? What things should we do? What are the those things that you're talking to us about? He says to them, those things which ye have both learned and received. Come on, do it again. That was perfect. I got to learn, da-da. Received, da-da. Come on, help me out here. I had a kid in high school. He was a youth pastor. And I think he's an assistant pastor in another church now, moving back here to Texas. He was one of those kids that was kind of ornery, you know. But you know how much I love to tell puns, right? Okay? And most of the time, to the common, ordinary person, they're not funny. But to the extraordinary people, they're funny. Now, so he downloaded on his cell phone the chirping of a cricket. You know, because that's what people do when there's silence, you know. Cricket, 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 makes a cricket noise. So whenever I told a pun, he'd play that dumb thing. It was funny. Okay, I enjoyed it, actually. That was fantastic, whoever did that. That was good. I want some more sound help here. All right. Now, so he said, both learned. So what are those things in our lives? They're things that we have learned. Past tense, right? Learned. Received. That's past tense. He said, heard. That's also past tense. And seen. So, in other words, he says, okay, Philippians, I've lived with you. I've won you to Christ. I came into your city. If you want to go back in the book of Acts, you can read about Paul's travels in Philippi. What he accomplished there was a great thing. Okay? A great work there in Philippi. Paul accomplished much in that city. And he says, hey, you're dearly beloved for me. You're longed for. You're the ones that are true yoke fellows, laboring in the gospel. You're with other fellow laborers. There's work being done. There's things being accomplished. This is a good church. He says, you've seen me in action. You've experienced these things, if you will, because now they're those things. When we turn the these things into those things, we're making progress in our Christian life. When he says, think on these things, these are things that we're looking to. When we consider those things, they're things that we possess. Those things. He says, hey, Philippians, you've learned some things. You've learned some things. The word learn means to gain knowledge, to acquire knowledge or ideas of something before unknown. When Paul came into Philippi, did they know Jesus Christ? No. Did they know of salvation? No. Did they know of Jehovah God? No. Did they know of the Christian life and how to live and how to act and how to pray even? No. So guess what they had to do? They had to acquire some things. They had to learn some things. They had to gain some knowledge of some things. And Paul said to them, those things that you've learned. He says, you have both learned
learned them. You've acquired them. You have knowledge of them. You've gained knowledge of them. And these are things which before you did not know, but now you know. So these are things that you have. They're those things. Folks, can I tell you something? Look at me. We have a privilege. Let me go over here. No, this is one of my heart. This is one of my heartbeats. I have many different heartbeats. Maybe that's why I'm irregular. Okay. This group right here, this first two rows. You have something most kids in this world don't ever have a chance at. Your whole life, you've been acquiring and gaining knowledge of God and the God of the Bible and the Bible. You have a bunch of those things, and maybe more of those things than these folks have. And yet this is the group that's leaving us, seemingly, more so than the others. Oh, that just fries my brain and makes me mad. Don't make me mad. Stick around. Amen. We do like you. We may pick on you some, but I only pick on you because I like you. I can't say that about everybody. I don't like everybody. But I like y'all, okay? You all right with that? John, you okay with that? He's not okay with me liking him. Oh, poor John. Okay. I'll work on it, John, okay? I'll work on it. All right. Anyways, no, those things. So we have knowledge. We've gained knowledge. We've acquired knowledge. He said, those things that you've learned, you've gained some knowledge of things, including prayer, including walking with God, including the Word of God, including all of these things. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Did you notice the phrasing there of what David was saying? He's saying, hey, these people that walk with God and walk in the ways of God are blessed. They're blessed when they have learned His righteous judgments. You understand that Paul spent much time pumping into these people Jesus Christ. The things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are of good report. Hey, could he ask them to stand fast in the Lord if they didn't know the Lord? No. Could he ask them to rejoice in the Lord if they didn't know the Lord? No. Could he ask them to trust in the Lord if they didn't know the Lord? No. Because they've learned these things. Folks, we have learned some things. How many of you can just shout out this morning that God is good? That God is salvation. That God is your God. Jesus Christ is your Savior. Hey, we've learned these things. We have gained this knowledge. To know Christ surpasses anything else. To know God surpasses anything else. To know this book surpasses any other knowledge out there. Listen, I have knowledge of a lot of things. But I would consider my greatest knowledge is my knowledge of God. That's of the greatest value to me. I would rather forget, and I shouldn't even say this, I would rather forget all of the mathematics that I know. That hurts me. I mean, that cuts deep. I want you to know that. Then to forget God and the things of God. Now, I would very gladly give up my knowledge of English. Except for the fact that it helps me read the Bible. I mean, that's the only good thing about it. But you know what? I'm going to say this as a 46-year-old man. And I'm going to say this to you kids today. There are some things concerning the world that I wish I didn't know. And I've spent my kids' lifetime trying to protect them from it. Because I don't want them to know what I know about the world. But I want to know Christ more. I want to know the Bible more. I want to know my God more. That's the kind of knowledge that we're supposed to get. That's what we're supposed to learn. Don't learn the world. Learn God. Now, how many of you have heard this illustration before? The people that work at banks, okay, or work with money, they teach them to find out counterfeits. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, how do they teach people that deal with money to find counterfeits? Let me tell you. No, that's okay. Somebody knows over here. They don't just show them the real thing. They make them handle insane amounts of the real thing. I mean, they're completely, they're always putting real money in their hands over and over and over again at ridiculous amounts. You're like, good, sign me up for that. Yeah, but the only bad thing is you don't get to keep any of it, okay? No free samples. I went to the Mint over here in Fort Worth. How many of you have been over there? That's a pretty cool place. Yeah, it's fantastic. My only downer was is they didn't give out free samples. I was hoping for free samples, but they didn't get any free samples. But they make so much real money pass through them so that they have a knowledge of what it feels like, looks like, smells like, tastes like. I mean, I don't know if they make them lick it or not, but I don't think I'd lick a dollar bill. There's too many germs on those things. Dirty money. Money needs to be laundered, amen. Okay, IRS, if you're watching, that's not what I mean, okay? No, you should wash your money, right? It's filthy. Why? So that when they do slip in a counterfeit, they're going like this, they're going, whoa. That didn't feel right. Or they're flipping through, flip, 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 flip. Huh? Nope. That's what they do. They don't give them buckets of counterfeits. They give them buckets of the real thing. Folks, kids, if anybody tells you that you're going to have to experience the world to know how bad it is, they're lying to you. Why don't you just focus on experiencing God so that when the world comes up with an idea, you're like, huh? That doesn't seem right. Oh, that doesn't feel right. I'm so knowledgeable about God that doesn't compute. That's how it should be. That's how it should be for all of us. That we're so immersed. We know how much, we know these pages. Listen, I know everybody's different. I understand that. But I'll think of a verse and I'm like, okay, it's on the right side of the page, top of the page. It's over here, so I'll just look at it. Okay, well, no, it's not there, it's not there, not there, not there, not there. And then I realize, oh wait, that's in my other Bible. Not version, just a different printing, if you will. But do we do? And I'll think of something. I'm like, okay, all right, I think it's in this. No, it's not in this. And it just drives me nuts until I find it. And I start thinking of all the key words and I'll type them into a search engine in my thing and I'll try to find a verse and finally find it. But we ought to have learned some things. David said, hey, that in my life, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when? Well, what's part of prayer? Praising God, right? Thanksgiving with God. And that kind of life, we can't do that until we have learned thy righteous judgments.
Paul says, those things which ye have both learned. In Romans 16, Paul says that now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. You say, Pastor, doctrine divides. Yes, it does. And it's supposed to. Our God is not the kind of God that gives everybody a trophy. I'm sorry, modern sports people. There are winners and losers in this life. You know what we ought to want to be? A winner. Didn't we just sing? Well, I am on the winning side. That means there's a losing side. we ought to want to be on the winning side, amen? No, he says, hey, this doctrine, it's because there's some that are contrary. So you know what you need to know? You need to know your doctrine. You need to know why you believe what you believe. And it needs to be God's doctrine, not religion's, not man's. We're to avoid these other doctrines and false doctrines. Listen to what he says here. He says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what these people are? These people are not the whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. They're not those people. They're the other people. You know, there's an opposite to just. It's unjust. There's an opposite to pure. It's defiled. There's an opposite to honest. That's liars. Right? There's an opposite to these things. If you want to call them so, you can call them antichrist, if you will. Because if Jesus is all six of these things, then those that don't believe him are against Jesus. An antichrist. Now listen to me. He says, my doctrine is not mine, Jesus said in John chapter 7, but his that sent me. If any man do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Jesus even said, this is not my doctrine, it's God's doctrine. So we've got to understand that we've got to know, we've got to learn some things. We have to gain knowledge, acquired knowledge of something that we didn't know before. Paul says, those things which ye have both learned, and then he says, received. Now, you know me, I like to look up words. I looked up that word, received. Well, what does that mean? It means accepted or taken. It means embraced. It means admitted. It means believed. Okay? So, with those words, here's what it means. I have attained knowledge. I have gained knowledge. I have gotten knowledge. And now I'm going to embrace it. Now I'm going to accept it. You know what acceptance is? It's now yours. Okay, so again, he uses this word for a reason. Could Paul have said to the Philippians, those things which ye have learned and received? Could he have said that? He could have said that. But he didn't. He said, those things which ye have both learned and received. He said, you attained, or you gained this knowledge. You gathered this knowledge. You opened up your ears, right? And you took in this knowledge. He says, but not only did you do that, you learned it, but you embraced it. You made it yours. And kids, listen to me. You have gotten a lot of knowledge. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, King's Kids, out soul winning, Wednesday nights. There's been vacation Bible schools, junior camps, senior camps, youth conferences.
I mean, you have gotten so much knowledge dumped into you. But how much of it have you received? He says that those things that are important. Now, we're going to get somewhere with this. In due time. He says, not just the things that you've gained knowledge of, but the things that you've both gained knowledge of and embraced. These are those things. See, it's not the things that you maybe know, all the things that you know. But he said, but those things that are so critical in your life are those things that you have both learned and received. Let me ask you a question. I hope you're putting together the pieces. They're a little scattered right now, but I promise I'll draw them all together. We're just separating the corner pieces and the middle pieces and all the purple pieces over here and all the orange pieces over here. And we're going to put the puzzle together as we go here. But start to put the pieces together. How many of us know about prayer? And know about the elements of prayer? How many of us have learned about prayer? But how many of us have both learned and received about prayer? See, is prayer these things or are those things for you? Is it something you've just gathered, or is it something you've both learned and received? That's a those things. I love English, but hate English. It's fantastic. Okay? This truth is fantastic. Because it has to do with transforming from having a prayer life to having a life of prayer. We know to have a prayer life. But we have to both learn and receive to have a life of prayer. Are we going to embrace this or not? Are we going to accept this or not? Are we going to take this? Are we going to believe this or not? Paul says this in Ephesians 4. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lights, the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, that you embrace the new man, that you take on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We need to receive these things. I love what Solomon says in Proverbs. You can read the rest of Proverbs 24, but at the end of it, he's talking about this broken down place covered with nettles and the walls. And you don't understand that? At the end of that story, he says this. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Young people, you really need to take a close look at what the devil is selling you as a bill of goods. Beyond the surface that looks all pretty and shiny and appealing is sin, guilt, death, destruction, sorrow. You have to look closely at it. Receive instruction. You know what young people always say? It won't happen to me. It happened to them. But if I dabble in this, that's not going to happen to me. That's one of the biggest lies the devil sells us, isn't it? And it's funny because, well, not funny, but strange funny, that people fall for it time and time again. But he says received. He said those things which ye have both learned and received.
In 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy and says this, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Solomon says this, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart unto understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee." You know what that is? That's a life of those things. Those things which ye have both learned and received. And not only did Paul say, hey, you've learned these things, you've gained the knowledge, you've received these things, you've embraced them, you've attached them, you've made them your life. He said, not only that, he says this, "and heard and seen in me do." So he says, you've learned them, you've received them, you've perceived them by the ear, and you've beheld them with your eyes. Kids, we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses. There are examples all over this place. Things that you can see and things that you can hear. Paul was a good example. Jesus Christ is a better example. But Paul wanted to emulate Jesus Christ. Remember what he told in his testimony? He said, hey, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He said, I went and did what God told me to do. And at the end of his life, he said, hey, I finished the course. I finished my course, he said. I've kept the faith. He said, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, right? Listen to me, folks. Paul was a good example, but Jesus Christ is our ultimate example. I love what it says in 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, that we which have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now let me put a bow on this thing. We need to, of course, we know James says to be hearers of the word and not doers, or not, I'm sorry, be doers of the word and not hearers only. So that puts into play the last word of this, those things do. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. That gets us to this part, which ratchets us back to verse 7. And the God of peace shall be with you. Okay, we've come full circle now. The beloved in the Lord. And I'm talking about taking a prayer life and turning it into a life of prayer. I'm trying to take us another level above what we mostly are. Most of us have some sort of prayer life. But how many of us have a life of prayer? We need to move forward. Are we dearly beloved? Are we brethren? Are we those that labor in the gospel? Do we stand fast in the Lord? Do we rejoice in the Lord? Are we trusting in the Lord? Do we make that solemn address to the Supreme Being? Do we bring with entreaty fervor and humbleness and earnestness in prayer and worship to God? Do we make requests with thanksgiving and supplications with thanksgiving and rendering thanks for good received? And do we express the desire of something of God? Do we know that God has a different formula for our lives to think about Jesus Christ? All these whatsoever things in computation and reckoning. He says, if we do so, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. He says, if you have the these things and the those things, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. We've been brought right back to the throne room. The peace of God and the God of peace. If we're in His presence, pray without ceasing. If we're in His presence, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Then it's not just a time of prayer. It's a life of prayer. We've learned them. We've embraced them. Prayer is not a fire escape. Prayer is our daily path. Prayer is not just, oh, I need something. Prayer is being with God and God knowing what we need, and we are communicating with Him what we need all the time. It's not an afterthought. It's like, okay, I've done everything else. Now I'm going to pray. See, that's the difference between a prayer life and a life of prayer. There's a difference between just things and these things and those things. Paul says we should do these things. James tells us that doing proves our faith. Don't get on these other ideas that these other crowds have about works salvation. Salvation is not of works. Okay? But it's kind of hard to say that you're a prayer and you don't pray. It's kind of hard to say you're a follower of Christ and you don't follow Christ. It's kind of hard to say you're a Christian when you don't act anything like Jesus acts. It's just kind of hard. I mean, it's just tough. So he tells these Philippians, he says, do these things. You've seen them in me. You've heard them from me. You've learned them from the scriptures. You've received them from the scriptures. You need to do them. Because these are things that are perceived by the ear. They're things that have been taken. They're things that have been gained. They're things that have been accepted. They're things that have been beheld. They're things that have been observed. They're things that have been understood. These are those things. Do them. and the God of peace shall be with you. So let's take the end of it. If you don't do them, then the God of peace won't be with you. And if you don't stand fast in the Lord, and if you don't rejoice in the Lord, and if you don't trust in the Lord, and if you don't in everything by prayer, and if you don't in everything by supplication, and if you don't do it with thanksgiving, and you don't make your requests be known to God, the peace of God won't pass all understanding, and He won't keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. If we won't live a life of prayer, we won't have the peace of God ruling in our hearts. Is that simple? We must change our thinking. We need to take those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen in people like the Apostle Paul, and seen in people like the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Apostle Paul followed, and do them. And the God of peace shall be with you. When we think of prayer, when we think of praying without ceasing, when we think of always praying, there's another passage of scripture that talks about always praying. We're going to talk about that after a while. I don't know, maybe sometime in July. How do we do that? Except to have a life of prayer, not just a prayer life. This is what God wants us to understand. This is what Philippians chapter 4 really is talking about. Is that the kind of life that we have now? If not, it's the kind of life we need. Our whole life has got to be a those things kind of life. And do them. That's what God wants for us.